Hello and welcome to Ordinary, a podcast that aims to help Christians live for Christ in everyday life. My name is Josh Bannister, and each week I'm joined by Graham Nichols and Mark Ventham, both pastors of Christ Church, Haywards Heath. The data shows us that generally there are more women going to church than there are men. There has been growing concern among some that the disparity between men and women in church is a sign that churches have become overly feminine and that men are put off by the environment. Is there truth to that? Or are there other factors at play here? Graham and Mark discuss this issue in today's episode. But before that, we give you a taste of what's coming up over the next few weeks on Ordinary.
My name is Graham Nichols.
My name is Mark Ventham.
And I'm Josh Bannister, and you're listening to Ordinary. This week, we're going to be talking about men in church. And that might sound like a bit of a weird thing to talk about. We'll explain that a little bit more. But before we get into the topic, we wanted to give you a little bit of a rundown of what's coming up on Ordinary, because we've been excited to have our first guests in, and we've booked more guests as a kind of a result of your feedback, and we've listened to who you'd like to hear about, and we've got some great guests coming up on the podcast. So I'll ask Graham and Mark to give us an idea of who's coming up, what they might be talking about.
First up, I think, sequentially, will be Tim Lane. So what's he going to talk about, Mark?
Well, Tim is a guy who is hugely involved in biblical counselling, and is president of the Pastoral Institute over in the US. He used to be the executive director for CCEF, which is Christian Counseling Education Foundation, I think, off the top of my head. And he's written a book recently called Unstuck, which is helping people. When you get stuck in the Christian life, you get to that point where you can't quite progress because of what's going on in life, the situation. How do you become unstuck? And he's written, based off his years of counseling, but also in terms of some of the stuff he did at CCF called How People Change, thinking about through how we walk forward with Christ and how we get unstuck and move forward in our Christian lives when we're in the midst of trial and difficulty and hardship or dealing with a particular sin pattern. And so he's going to come on and talk a little bit about that. We might try and get him to talk a little bit about mental health stuff as well.
Yeah.
He's done quite a lot of work with on anger and depression and mental health stuff. He was over with us last year, so we're going to be chatting with him about that.
Yep.
He's a good guy. He's very clear on this.
Yeah. Who else we got? That's a great one.
We have got Ben Virgo coming up. Mm-hmm. Ben runs something called Christian Heritage Trust or Foundation, which basically does tours of historical sites, mostly in London.
Yeah.
But he's going to be coming on talking about, is history important or interesting even? And in particular, should Christians, ordinary Christians, be interested in Christian history? Mm-hmm. What's the benefit? What's the purpose? What's the value?
Yes, right. And he's a good guy. He's really listenable. He does
really enthusiastic.
We do staff tours with him. We take the staff team up to London,
yeah.
And he does these heritage tours. And he is he makes the British Museum come alive, because he doesn't just show you the artifact. He then just gives you the whole history.
He's the new Brian Edwards.
Connected with the Bible.
Took us to the outside of St. Paul's. Talked about a fight that broke out when one of the kind of early reformers manages to escape because the bishops and the lords or whatever are fighting in St. Paul's, and this guy kind of escaped. It's really good stories. And what's really great about it is some of the arguments just go over and over, in the sense that there's nothing new in some of the problems we're having.
Yeah.
But also how God preserves the gospel through all these things and keeps reviving. So that's great stuff. But anyway, don't want to anticipate his stuff too much.
Yep.
We've got Krish Kandaya coming on, who's going to talk about Christian adoption.
Okay.
So that'll be really cool. John Stevens is coming on from the FIC. He's president of the FIC. Yeah.
National director, sorry.
President's the wrong word. That's an old-fashioned word.
Yeah.
And he's going to talk about the state of the nation, really, kind of his observations of the church and the nation. He's a really big thinker. Mm-hmm. He's so much of a person I look up to that I was in...
you literally look up to him.
Yeah, I literally look up to him. There was
very tall.
What's the shop in Haywards Heath that's on the corner of the orchards there? The
Marks and Spencer's?
No.
The jewellery shop?
On the way out. No, a clothes shop. Men's clothes shop.
Fat Face.
Fat Face. Right. Okay. I went in Fat Face, and there was the red zip-up kind of thick jumper that John Stevens always wears. And I showed it to Caroline, my wife, and said, I want this jumper because then I can be John Stevens. Because it's his kind of zip-up top.
I'm just not sure where we're going to go with that.
Yeah.
Maybe so, he can get a signature.
But he's really good, though. Yeah. He understands the state of the nation. So in terms of culturally understanding where the Christian world is at the moment, and so he's full of really helpful insights.
It's good, provocative as well, because about some of the social issues and whether we should engage or not.
And Krish Kandar, going back to Krish,
yes.
He is great as well. He's really launched this charity, Hope, and really talking about, and he fosters a number of kids, he's adopted kids.
Yeah.
I first came across Krish, he was on the staff team at the church I was in Warwick. He was the first guy who began to read Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology with me. Years ago. He's a really good guy, really interesting, but he's really done a lot of work on particularly the issue of adoption and orphans and the social justice and the gospel as well. Yeah. So just be interested to hear how he engaged with that and challenge us in our thinking about what we're doing in those areas.
Yep. And then we've got David Robertson, who is from the Free Church of Scotland. He's a minister of the Free Church of Scotland, was in Dundee. In a famous church in Dundee where Robert Murray McShane was. But actually, he's just moved to Australia in a kind of apologetics evangelism unit that's over there. He's really good on, I suppose, evangelism and political engagement. Really good on those topics. So we're going to get him to talk through that.
Do you think he knows about the cosmological argument?
Yeah, I think he does.
He better.
Yeah. He definitely does know about all of those.
So and redshift.
He could talk into all of those. But I think he's very entertaining sort of speaker as well. But he's really into kind of Christians and politics and engagement.
I've never really heard him, actually. I've read some of his articles, but I've never really heard him.
He's provocative, very provocative.
I know, you know him well, so we'll look forward to that.
Yeah, yeah. And we have also got coming in Helen Thorne.
Oh, yes. We haven't got a date for her yet, have we?
We have got a date.
Oh, have we?
Sorry. Yeah, we have.
Guys, great. Got to keep up to date with the calendar. Yeah. It's mad.
Yeah.
Forgotten that, yeah.
So what's Helen going to do?
What's she going to talk about?
She's going to talk about emotions in some way.
Anxiety, probably.
Yeah, I think anxiety was one of them. She could have talked about anger, but we've done that one already.
So she's part of the team up at London City Mission. Yeah. She's part of their team, but she's also one of the trustees for Biblical Counselling UK.
Yeah.
Speaks a lot. She was also at the SGP conference along with Tim Lane, talking about these kind of areas, particularly mental health. And she has some great insights. She's really insightful.
I think anxiety and depression we're probably going to do with her.
I imagine we would, because she is very good on that. Very helpful. And applying the gospel in that situation.
Well, sounds like now is the time to subscribe to The Ordinary Podcast, because there is so much coming up. We've been Don't miss an episode. We've been working hard to kind of listen to feedback and get some great guests on. So subscribe, definitely, so you don't miss an episode. Share with your friends and family. We'd really appreciate that. And we think there's going to be lots and lots of valuable content coming up.
Yeah, we know there's a lot of people who are listening who are not necessarily subscribing. So we don't want to tell you what you must do, but subscribing is good because it gets scales our number of listeners a little bit better for us.
Nice.
Some people who are just listening online. So it'd be really helpful
That'd
if you do
brilliant.
That. Yeah. And share it on social media, and definitely share as well as liking. So if you see it pop up on social media, make sure you share it and like it. Share it as
if
much as
you possibly
can. If you're
finding it helpful and useful.
Yeah.
I mean, if you hate it, don't do it. But yeah.
Yeah, you can put one of those little emojis that sort of says, I hate it, if you want.
Yeah, you can do that.
But either way, get some engagement.
And if you do hate it, tell us why, so we can...
we can make you hate it a little bit less.
All publicity is good publicity. We'll take it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we want to talk about men in church. I think the first question that's going to help us lead into this is there, in fact, a disparity between kind of the number of men and number of women that we see in church? And is that why you want to have a discussion about this?
Yeah, there was a book out some time ago in America, I think, which was Why Don't Men Go to Church?
Why Men Hate Church.
Why Men Hate Church, thank you.
By Morrow.
And once you kind of read the first bit, you read the whole book. It's one of those kind of books where you read the first chapter and you basically got the idea of the book.
Yeah.
So the idea of the book was that. And it made me go back and kind of check. So what about our church? Are there more men than women? And what are kind of some of the issues? And more especially, I looked at the number of conversions. So, and I did that in conjunction with some other churches around in Mid-Sussex as well. So in terms of membership, just pure membership of our church, it's about 60-40 women, men. 60% are women, 40% are men. So if you looked at that, you'd say there seems to be a bit more women than men. You know, there could be other factors to do with how long women live and so forth. But I think in our church, that's not particularly a factor.
Okay.
Because it's not as though there's lots of elderly women who are outliving the men, sort of thing. It's more across the board. So I think that genuinely there's more. Not dramatically. I mean, our church is very blessed. Not dramatically. But then when you look at conversions, it becomes more significant that you're looking at a bigger percentage, you know, going up to maybe 70-30 conversions of women from outside the church compared with the conversions of men from outside the church. I think that's when it becomes much more significant.
Thanks, Stato.
Oh, yeah. No, it's interesting stuff.
It's useful.
Yeah, no, I've got all these guys from other churches looking at it as well. It made them think too. Mm-hmm. Just experientially, if you just think about people that have been converted recently from completely outside the church, there's just more women than men that we've baptized from outside the church. There are people from inside the church that we baptize, and you know, we bless God for them. And there are people who join the church from other churches who have been converted. But it's skewed a little bit more in
and so then the question is, why is that?
And also, is it a problem? I think I'd like to ask, you know. Is that a problem?
Well, it's not a problem in the sense of we rejoice the fact that women are being converted and baptized.
Yeah.
That's not a problem at all. We want to see that continue. Yeah. But I guess it raises the question, why are men not?
Yeah.
Is it just, you know, I guess it then raises the question, are we doing something or not doing something that means we're not reaching men? Yeah. Or is it fundamentally, and I think part of the reason why we're having this discussion is that sometimes we hide behind this idea that the church is feminized in lots of ways. Now, there are probably things there that we need to hear, but it's probably not strictly true. And there's probably a greater reason, which we'll get onto, which is why men aren't going to church.
So we want to kind of hit the, is there something in the church environment that kind of puts men off first? So thinking about men and church, and then thinking about men and evangelism, really.
Is so what are the, so some of the arguments would be, this book would suggest particularly, often churches, you know, they have lots of flowers around. Lots of the pictures are from children. Lots of the songs talk about loving Jesus. Jesus is your husband. Jesus, which then just puts men off. Now
that it's a feminine environment.
Yeah. So now there's probably some truth in that, but I mean, our church is just doesn't have flowers.
But broadly speaking, if you were to say in a sort of non Christian, a kind of secular environment, probably women are more comfortable in social environments than men in general. I was listening to another podcast and had this brilliant idea that when you come into church, you should be given a badge, which says, I'm approachable and you can talk to me if you want, or to say, no, leave me alone, I'm quite happy to be on my own.
Yeah, interesting idea. So you're given what badge I'd wear most weeks.
Oh, yeah. And there was a kind of an amber one, which is you're allowed to talk to me about, you know, football, something else, technology or something, you know, if you want. But you can't talk about any sort of personal subjects. So it kind of amused me because I thought, actually, there are some men and some women in our church who'd really love to wear one of those badges. Say, don't touch me, don't hug me, don't speak to me. I don't want to engage with anyone. But I think, having said that little joke, I think in general, although some of us men, particularly us here, are quite talkative, we're probably less at ease talking across the board at a whole range of people than women. In general, that's generally true, that women are more sociable. Yeah. And the church is a sociable environment.
Yeah.
So although I don't buy all the feminizing arguments, and as you say, we tried to make our environments very neutral, and even more so now we're in school, but I do buy the idea that church is quite social and family, and there's lots of family stuff going on. And sometimes men, when it's not their own family, don't always feel comfortable kind of relating to a bigger family, whereas I think women fall into it more easily in general. So I think that's it.
And I think that's true. And I think generally we as guys generally struggle in friendships and in terms of connecting in deep friendships. And I think therefore when the church is about that, and the church is often you are talking about maybe how you feel at times, that can be off-putting to guys.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard some arguments that the sermons are too long, but I don't buy that one either. You know, that men can't concentrate for very long. So that can be an argument put forward, or that it doesn't seem to relate to their kind of everyday life. Like they're doing, you know, lots of other exciting stuff in life and it doesn't seem to quite connect. I think you can make that argument for women as well. But
yeah.
But you know, I've heard that.
Well, I mean, some guys say, you know, you've got to preach, you've got to up the challenge, make it much more stretching, challenging, dangerous. Yeah.
Singing is another argument to say, you know, apart from kind of football matches and a few things, men don't sing quite so much as women. women more instantly get into the kind of groove of music than men. I think that's true. If you go to any kind of party where there's dancing involved, women are generally more confident to dance than men. You know, is it because they're more competent, they're more agile? I don't think so. I think it's to do with they relate to music a bit better. So there are some arguments to say, well, men don't want to sing. You know, they don't want to kind of express themselves emotionally like that. It's harder to kind of get going, particularly if you're outside the church and that's not been your culture.
So if you're saying all these things and then saying, I don't think it's that, I don't think it's this.
Yeah.
What do you think it's due to or down to? Is there a reason that you can put your finger on that you think is impacting this?
I think the relational ones, the kind of the fact that you've got to discuss stuff, not you've got to discuss stuff, that you've got to talk with people is a genuine one. And I think, although I don't think it's the total argument, I do think the singing one is, there's a little bit of truth in it. So yeah, perhaps I'm being too absolute in my dismissal.
Well, I think
all those arguments kind of have a place. They're probably not knockout punches that are stopping people, but
it's accumulative.
They do create a little bit of a challenge for men perhaps coming into church.
And they may more in the sense be a stereotype that is in the mind of people rather than actual reality.
Sure.
So someone, a non-Christian guy, is going, I'm just not going to go to church because it's full of women and children.
Yeah.
That may be in their mind. It may be a stereotype that's being conceived. And let's face it, lots of churches are full of, putting it politely, elderly women. You know, so if you were to take a sweep, there would be lots of churches where they're predominantly older congregations, largely made up of women, and maybe some younger women and children. So you can understand why that then stereotype comes. Now, in a church like ours, in God's goodness, we're at a 60-40 split, but I think on a Sunday you would think it's 50-50.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be thinking, oh man, there's a lot of women here compared to the men. I don't think that's how you think. You look at it and go, actually, we're pretty even.
Yeah.
But I think there are lots of churches where that isn't the case. And so the stereo, and of course, then it's much harder for the men to then get into those churches because then, or there's one bloke in there or two blokes, you know, you just as a guy not going to go there. So I think that fuels the stereotype, but I don't think that is the fundamental reason why. I think the fundamental reason why, and I'll let Graham's tell you, is why.
Is because I think Christian blokes are not doing very well at evangelism because they're not doing very well at relationships and connecting with people who are not Christians and getting to come along to stuff. So I think although all those other arguments have some weight, whether it's real or perceived situation in church, and I think it is true that it is challenging for a man sometimes, particularly if you haven't got a family connection already, to come into a church environment and sort of chat with people and so forth. I think all those things are true. I think it's more likely that it's because us men don't have so many connections. I think naturally speaking, in any sort of ordinary town in the United Kingdom, the women in that church, in a church there, will have more connections in that town than the men do.
But
and also they'll probably make more use of those connections, and those connections will be more, will have more sort of emotional, relational element to them. So you may have functional relationships in the town. You might belong to a sports club with someone, you know, have some hobby in common. You might work with them. But I think that us men have not been so good at taking the lead. I mean, at our church, just regardless of the stats in terms of conversions, the best evangelists in our town, generally speaking, have been women, haven't they? In our church, sorry.
Yes. But I guess I want to just go for a counter on all of that, because I think some part of it is that our churches are set up not against men, but in terms of that don't aid men necessarily in this. So if you think about the normal program in the life of a church, it normally centers around children's work, toddlers, and those kind of things. Now, naturally, because still, it's not totally true, but even still, majority of the care of children is done by the mothers.
Yeah.
Therefore, they're bringing, and particularly in the early years, they're bringing the kids along to the toddler groups. They're then making connections and friendships. So if they're then connecting with the Christian mums, then the connections just become. You get to the school gate. Who is generally at the school gate? Yes, there are dads there, but generally it's the mums, and generally it's the mums who are then making the connections. It's the dads, if you watch it, we're all at the back. On our phones, doing our emails, we're not really thinking, oh, right, I need to connect with this person. Whereas I think mums naturally think, oh, I need to make sure I'm connecting with those mums because, hey, my child wants to play. You know, those kind of things are happening, which then naturally form relationships as well. So I think there is a kind of, which makes it a little bit harder for guys, and we can hide behind that where we don't have the friends, we don't have the connection. So we kind of give ourselves a pass. But the reality is we probably just need to step up to the plate a bit more. And we do have the connections. We're talking to a guy yesterday who's... one of the elders in the church, and he was talking about a guy in another church here who's been bringing all his friends to his church from work. And now his church is in Brighton. Now you think that's brilliant. And then the added factor is, yeah, but he works in London. So everyone says, well, you can't bring your friends to church. Actually, if you have the relationships, stuff will happen. But I don't think we are so task-centered. So we get to work and we're just on the task. We're not going to work and thinking, do you know what, how am I going to glorify Christ? How am I going to get to know some people? How am I going to evangelize? Now, I've got to work, but how am I going to develop relationships outside of that? And I think we let it drop off our radar. And we give ourselves permission. It's okay. We're not in the position. We don't have the contacts. We're not at the school gate. Whatever it is. But I think probably we just need to man up a bit. And we need to start thinking about how we develop things that guys do. And I think generally, although we say guys aren't relational in the sense we find it hard, guys still want that. They want friendships that are real and deep, where they can talk and be understood and heard. And we've just got to help get better at connecting those things up.
I think there's a great opportunity for us now because many more men work flexible hours and are often at home working and picking up kids and dropping off kids and so on, which I think wasn't the case when my kids were younger. The majority of people when my kids were younger, if I ever had to take my kids to school, it was like maximum pressure because it was all women at the school gate and I was the one man. You know, that was generally true of men who were dropping off 30 years ago, whereas now it's a, you know, half and half almost, I think.
Well, and actually lots of grandparents.
Yeah. So there's loads of people you can chat with at the school gates as a man.
And but I think you psychologically might be the man still, that's quite hard for a guy.
Yeah, it's quite hard for women, to be fair to them, but true. I think they're just a little bit better at it.
Well, I think
but
you're more conscious of it.
When in your counter, you were talking about, okay, things that men should do and think about doing more, right? But were you also thinking about how the church environment or the programs that we run could be altered?
Yeah. So, I mean, some of the things that we're bouncing around, aren't they? It's like, do we run a dads and toddlers stuff on a Saturday morning?
Yeah.
So, actually, what you're doing is encouraging dads who are up early with young kids, come along, have a bacon roll, get to know some other guys and connect in that way. We run Curry Night. And Curry Night has no gospel content, but it is just a chance for guys to bring guy friends along to just connect with others in the church. Now, it works because actually what happens is, then if they ever come to a church service, suddenly they're not feeling, we met at Curry Night. And, you know, they connect in with other guys. So it helps begin to bridge. But the how do you then build on that? You know, I mean,
an example of that. One of the most successful versions of that I've seen recently was the golf. Our church did a kind of golf event.
Yeah.
Loads of people showed up to that.
Yeah. So we want to do more of them.
Yeah, people will come.
Exactly. I think we're just trying. I think we've been a little bit behind the curve on this as a church, and I think we're beginning to really think through how we reach men and engage with men much more. So we've got one of our he's volunteer staff team member whose kind of primary aim is just to think about how we develop men's ministry.
Yeah.
You know, we're beginning to see some of that begin and develop and grow. But I think it will take a bit of time before we really begin to see the output.
Do you think there's any weight behind the kind of idea I've heard before of kind of win the man, win the family philosophy? And is that a tactic of the church or is that not so much the case?
I think it has a little weight, but not a great weight, because I think for all kinds of reasons, men are not so much leaders in their families. So so you can convert the man and not
historically that
so.
Would have been much more.
Yeah. So I think it's a bit more complicated than that. I think winning the parent obviously has a massive influence on the family. And probably in general, if the man becomes a Christian, there's a little bit more likelihood that the whole family will come to church. If the woman becomes a Christian, there's more pressure against. But I think with a push to more sort of complementarian kind of roles within relationships, there's a bit less of that's a bit less so.
Yeah.
More egalitarian rather than...
Yeah, sorry, egalitarian, I'm sorry. Good point. What was I going to say? There is an irony in this, in that we as a church are complementarian. That's probably why I said it, because it's in my head. Complementarian. Think about men taking the lead. And this is one area where we're not taking the lead. So I think it's a real challenge to those of us who think men should be taking the lead to say, okay, so if you're going to take the lead in your home and in the church and so on, you've got to take a lead in evangelism, because this is a key area. And you've got to be modeling what you're kind of preaching and encouraging everyone else to do. And some of that might be really encouraging, you know, your wife or whoever who's a woman to do that. Some of it might be that, because that might be the way that you reach people. But also really committing to, okay, so if you haven't got the perfect networks, at least connect with your wife's networks or, you know, other people in the church's networks and kind of, you know, ride off the back of those, because there's lots of opportunities for that.
Because your wife's friend might have a husband.
Absolutely.
So invite them out for dinner.
Or a partner.
And I think we have been, and I have been quite slow in that and not kind of seen the opportunities when they were there. Because I'm thinking, you know, they're her friends sort of thing, you know, and I should be out developing my own friends. And sometimes it's kind of right in front of you. And I think, it, you know, in terms of the church environment, we've got to think, keep thinking about, okay, the events we run, all kinds of events, how can we connect with men better? So we do a toddler group. And actually, because of the changes in work patterns, there's quite a lot of blokes come along to the toddler group. Nearly all the people who run the toddler group are women. But it's very rare for you to have a men at the toddler group that we run. So what can we do about that? You know, partly there's a practicality that the men are working, but, you know, what can we do to connect with the men who come along to that? There's loads of men who drop off and pick up kids from various of our children's clubs. There's a mixture, but probably particularly in the younger age, there's more women than men who are doing those groups. You know, how do we connect with those sort of things? So there's lots of really simple kind of easy things where we already have the connection. I think I mentioned in another podcast, but I'm not really in favor of contriving an interest to create contacts. So, you know, you pretend that you're interested in train spotting or train maintenance, as we've got a little model railway thing in Haverty.
But if that is your hobby, then yeah, go and join a group.
Absolutely. And join a group and connect it with your faith.
Yeah,
because sometimes people have hobbies. You talk to people in the church and you discover they're in all these kind of networks, and you think, I know it's a bit of an over-professionalisation, but you kind of think, so why aren't you using this? why don't we know any of the people from there? You know, you're in this chess club, you're in this cricket club, you're in this running club.
And we're back to dog walking.
Yeah, or any of those things, and you could be using them.
I think,
but as I always say as well, we all live in streets. We can break some of the kind of taboos about talking to neighbours. So even if, you know, as a bloke, you haven't got any friends, you're going to be putting the bins out at the same time as your next door neighbour sometimes. And people generally will talk, and it doesn't take very long to get into a conversation. And at least you've got a relationship that you might better do something with sometime.
Just get that cosmological argument out next to the bins.
Get it out there.
You're there.
Yeah.
Redshift it.
Redshift.
But I think part of one of the things that we are saying about that we have to address as leaders, yes, is how we're discipling the men in our church.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things is recognizing that 95% of the guys in the church will be a leader of sorts, leader in the home, leader in the workplace, leader in the church. How are we equipping and discipling guys to be Christian leaders in the context they are, which then means they're actually leading their families and leading out in winning others for Christ? And, you know, I've got to address that in my own life, but actually how do we help and encourage one another in that? So if you're a member of Christ Church, look out.
Yeah. So we think there's a little bit of weight in the argument that church is difficult, but we think that the great onus on us is to think as leaders of churches and as ordinary Christians, particularly as men, how do we make the most of every opportunity to tell people about Jesus?
Well, thanks again for listening to another episode of Ordinary. If you've been with us from the start, or you've caught up on the back catalogue, that's 30 episodes of Ordinary you've had now. That's a whole lot of Ordinary by anybody's standards. And we're carrying on strong next week with another guest. Tim Lane's joining us on the podcast, so you're not going to want to miss that one. He talks about his book Unstuck and mental health from a Christian point of view. So keep listening, keep sharing, keep subscribing, and we'll see you again next week.